Hi, Blind Cool Tech. This is Matthew Bullis from Phoenix, Arizona, and I'm back with another instrument recording. This is a vintage instrument, which you're going to have to pretty much find on eBay. They don't make them anymore. They were produced about 20 years ago. And if you find one, you're lucky, and luckily there's a chance to get some of these in really good condition. I'm here to talk about the Casio DG20 Digital MIDI Guitar. Casio are known for their cheap keyboards and sort of a cheap sound, but they'd be fine. But I can hardly play the piano, so I don't collect keyboards. I know a lot of blind musicians do have keyboards, and they get really involved in them, and they do all this MIDI stuff. But I've been an acoustic musician for years, mainly as a hobby for entertainment, and so I have all sorts of acoustic instruments and things like that, so I never got into synthetic drum beats and MIDI scores and things like that. This instrument will connect to MIDI, but I don't know anything about it to really tell you about it, but it does have MIDI channel 1 and channel 2, and the manual, which you can find online in PDF and then you can convert to text, tells you all about how to do this with MIDI, so I'm not going to cover that. I'm going to cover the instrument as you get it out of the box. The Casio DG20 is a digital MIDI guitar, so in other words, you get your keyboard sounds, but you play it like a guitar. So in other words, you have to know how to form chords and to maybe do some finger picking or things like that. There were two models, the DG10 and then the DG20. The DG10 on eBay is about $100 or so less because it doesn't have MIDI on it and it lacks about 6 or 7 of the sounds on this DG20 that I have here. The DG20 is powered either by a 4.5-volt adapter or 6D-cell batteries. I'm going to describe it. It's a weird-shaped instrument. The back of it feels like a Casio keyboard. It's plastic. The whole thing feels plastic, but the back of it has a squared-off keyboard shape, and it comes to a point at a certain area, so the way this is designed, you can't really hang it up unless you hang it up on a guitar hanger upside down, and I'd recommend getting one of those ones that the hinges on the guitar hanger close over it so that it will work, and that should work for you all right. This has a drum machine in it, and it has the guitar strings on it. The strings, when you play them, that's all they sound like because they don't have to be in tune. In fact, you use 6 of the same gauge strings. You use 6 nylon strings, gauge B. So your B nylon string, your string 2, that's the second string from the bottom. If you can get those in single strings from your local music store without having to buy 6 individual sets, that's good. But hopefully the model that you'll find will be one with all the strings intact on it. So the strings themselves, you know, only sound like this. They have MIDI triggers inside that make the notes. We'll turn it on, and this came out in 1987 about. And if you're a fan of the HBO TV show Flight of the Conchords, you'll have heard them mention this in one of the episodes. In fact, let me see if I can find the sound that they use. Hold on here, let me turn off the drum machine. I'm just pressing buttons to try to find the sound, and it's apparently not on the first bank here. I'll go through each one of these and play a little bit of it. And I'm trying to find the electric mandolin thing that they were talking about. There we go. Very poor excuse for a mandolin, but that's what they call it, the electric mandolin. Let me reset this. If you turn it off, you can turn it back on, you reset everything. So if you get it all tempo, wrong tempos or things like that, just turn it off and turn it back on again. Their theme song on the Flight of the Conchords is, see if I can recreate it here. So that's the way they begin their show with a little theme. It's a bit modified with a couple of extra instruments, but this is the basis for it, the Casio DG20. You've got buttons on the front of this, on the panel, which is facing up as you're holding it like a guitar. The buttons on the front of it feel almost the same as the spaces between them. So you have a button and then a space, and then a button and then a space. So you just have to learn where they are. if you're trying to find like the fourth button along, you have to do it kind of carefully. You're not going to hurt anything if you just touch the spaces, just nothing will happen. On the top row of buttons are the drum beats. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then the seventh button is the alternate. Let me turn on the drum beats here. That's your first, that's the default drum beat. That's drum beat 1. That's drum beat 2. And the drum beat, by the way, the drum beats have a separate volume control from the music sound, so you can adjust that. We'll turn the drum beats back on. We're on drum beat 2. Here's drum beat 3. Drum beat 4. Drum beat 5. And drum beat 6. Now we'll go back to drum beat 1. Because you've got controls on the top near the strings, you've got the second one in is the start and stop. And then the one behind it, so that one more towards you, has a larger rubber button, and that's the mute for the strings. So you, and then so the middle button, the middle rubberized button on the top is the drum beat button, start and stop. The one on the outer edge is the fill button. So using the first drum beat button, and depending on where you hit it in the sequence of the drum beats, you'll get a different modified fill. So that's how he's doing that little fill there. Now, in the manual it said that if you tap the button, what I did was I hit the, nothing's playing right now, and I hit the fill button by itself. And now as soon as I hit a string, the drums will start. So that's kind of a way to time your performance piece. You have the 6 drum beat buttons up at the top on the side, and your 7th button over is the alternate. So we start with the drum beat 1, and you hit the alternate button, and on button 1 now becomes this. If you want to switch back, just hit it again. So here's this kind of like your FM presets or so on your radio. This is alternate 1, button 2, and in your default you get button 2, which was this anyways. Back to the alternates, here I'm hitting button 7. This is the 3rd button over on the alternate. That was the alternate on button 3, so you can switch back and forth between your alternates on the same button. That's button 4. And your default for button 4 was this. Back to the alternate for button 4. Button 5 alternate is this. And this is your default button 5. And then there's your alternate for button 5, and the last one. Default for button 6 was this one. And then you've got your, let me go back to button 1, default 1. This is what you get when you turn the machine on. Now you've got a little space, a flat space, and then your next button that comes along is your tempo, faster. And here's the fastest it goes. Okay, and then your button next to it is your slow down button. And I'm holding it in to turn it to the slowest. If you hold buttons, both of buttons in, you return back to your defaults. Now, the next two buttons, let me turn the drums off, have to do with the strings. One of these doesn't seem to work very well. One of them's a reverb and one of them's a sustain, they call it. So you got two buttons. This is still on the top row, but they didn't have enough room on the bottom row for all these, so they sort of wrapped them around for the strings. You've got buttons that are up and down, so you go to the top and bottom row. If we hit the last button on the right on the top once, you've transposed it. Hitting it again, so it's just like you're capoing on a guitar. So it goes almost a whole step up, And in fact, you can raise it a whole step up by turning a knob on the side of the keyboard, which is pitch control, like... There we go. I turned it. Now you're a full step up. And so I'm going to reset it now. Turn the pitch wheel on the side and go back down. You can turn the pitch wheel on the side. Again, this is sort of a fine-tune knob. So it only goes from half a step down to a half a step up. So it's different than your transpose button. So I turn the wheel all the way to the lowest position. And now you're in E flat. Let me set it back to standard here. It has no detent, so you have to use your ears to tell exactly where you are. Now, I pressed one of these buttons up at the top, which was the... There we go, the sustain. By default, the sustain is on. If you press sustain and turn it off, it's not good for strumming, it's only good for picking individual notes. I'm going to turn it back on. So that's the sustain's back on, and that's exactly to the left of the transpose buttons. And I really can't hear a difference in the reverb or the reverb button. Now let's go to the bottom row of buttons. These are the different sounds, and again, they have an alternate. So you have more sounds on the music part than you do have on the drum beats, but that's pretty good. Let's start with the... In fact, I'll turn it off just to make sure everything's defaulting. So we've defaulted everything, the sustain's back on, and we're at our default drum beat and our default instrument. By the way, all these drum beats, if you have sighted assistants, you're going to be able to see the names of the drum beats. They have upper and lower so that you know what they're called if you're on alternate or whatever. And also, all the instruments have names. But I have no vision, so I can't tell you the names of those. So someone will have to just look at it for you if you get one. Now, depending on how your instrument, the Casio DG20, has been treated over the past 20 years, whether it's been lovingly cared for and someone hated to part with it, or whether things broke inside or things like that, your tension on your strings may be different. And as I said, they're nylon strings, so they're all the same gauge. I haven't had good luck with the tension on this, so the strings are a bit floppy, and I wish they were tighter. And the mechanisms inside have broken, or at least I can't get them to adjust properly. They're very specific, so the tension is not what I'd like it to be, but you can do it. I'm touching the strings, I'm strumming with my right hand, and I'm holding down an E chord, and there are rubber pads beneath the strings that correspond for the frets, and there's little lines between the frets to know where it knows where your fingers are going, so you have to be kind of exact, otherwise, you know, you don't get your exact notes. You can't do bends on this guitar because it can't sense that you're or anything like that. So you'd have to slide like a... That's the best you can do with that. Now I usually, when I strum, I use a thumb pick with a bendable center that flexes against the strings, but these are so light that you would get your pick tangled up. So just use your thumb or the back of your your fingernails. Now see, I pressed the wrong one. And in fact, I'm going to change the angle of this Casio to be more suitable to what I'm playing. And before I change instruments, I'll just play a little bit. This is just strumming. Now see, my hand's not exactly on this note here. You have to be careful where you put your fingers to get the chord you want. Strum on it, and then if you've progressed this far in guitar, you can finger pick. better I'd be more accurate at this, but the strings kind of push away from you. Now let's go with the instruments. We're down on the bottom row now. And your first instrument on the left is this one here. And we'll leave the alternate button until we get to the first 10 instruments. Here's number 2. Bit of a waver on that. I wonder if the reverb thing changes. Let's see. Nope. Here's where the sustain button does good for finger picking. I switch back to the first sound. So I'm just strumming like I was before, but you're not getting the sustain for the chord, so this is better for the finger picking. Let me turn back on the sustain and you'll hear the difference, the same finger picking. We'll leave the sustain on because we'll mostly be doing strumming. So back to this is instrument 2. Kind of a phaser noise. My hands are getting tangled up in the strings because they're not as tense as they should be. Another phaser. That's what they call that. Let's see. Okay, so they've got two of them like that. So instruments number 2 and 3 both do that. Instrument 4. Let's see what the sustain does with this one, because this is kind of a very full sound. I'm just sort of moving my hands up and down the fretboard there. Put sustain back on. We were on 1. This one was the one we were on. That is instrument 5. Let's see. You know, that's what I was telling you about these buttons. I'm getting confused here. This is instrument 1. Instrument 3 is the first one with that sound. Number 4 has that. Number 5 is these bells or whatever they are. All these have names, by the way, but since I can't see the buttons, I don't know. I think that's some sort of vibraphone. The sustain's off. Let me turn it on again. Alright, no. I was correct. It was on, but it's just this is a very short. The sustain on this isn't as long. So with sustain off, so it's not a very long. Almost a banjo sound, but not quite. It's kind of another one of those cheap keyboard sounds that you'd expect from there. There's where we left off. Next one. Alright, that's another one that's really... it's got a lot of sound in it. So it can almost overwhelm you. Let me turn the sustain off on that. So that sounds much better with this kind of instrument, because it'll overload you. Same with the pipe organ, which we'll get to. Let me turn sustain back on. And remember, this is the button to the left of the transpose up button. It's on the top row. Let's see where we are. Another one with a lot of sound. Turn the sustain off. Another just running my hands up and down the fretboard. I turn the sustain back on for that. I think we're almost to the end of the first one. One more on the first row here. Kind of a backwards sound. Let's turn the sustain off for that. Kind of builds up here, and I almost overload you when you have the sustain on. Okay, so that's the last one on that row. Let's go back to instrument one, and then you hit your 11th button on the bottom row, and you switch into your alternates. The clanking noise that you're hearing when I'm hitting the strings, you can connect this to an amp, and so that sound won't come through, because there's no physical microphone inside that picks up the noise of your hands hitting the strings. So if you're playing this out in performance, they're not going to hear your hands going on there. So this is alternate one on the instruments. Remember, let's turn off the sustain on the top. And remember, in all these instruments, you can transpose. So if you don't like that, and you're almost up here an octave up. So I'm not going to go through transposing every instrument, but you get the idea that you can move it up an octave almost. And you literally can move it up an octave if you use the fine-tuning wheel on the side, which is right there near all the in and output jacks. So we're on alternate 1 on the bottom row. We hit it button 11 for the alternate. Your default on button 1, let me turn sustain back on. Your default on button 1 is this. Switch back to alternate 1. Here's alternate 2. Sound. That's turning sustain off. I just turn sustain. you have to do this when you hit a new instrument. Your sustain either stays on or it stays off, so you're going to have to be aware of where the setting is. And so we're on an alternate 2. Remember, this is your default on 2. Switch it to alternate and hit button 3. Another one of those phasing sounds. Because remember, you've got this on button 3 as its default. Kind of a phasing sound. We'll switch back to the alternate 3. And hit button 4. Another phaser sound. Because there's your default on button 3, is it here? They kind of get... You'll eventually know what sounds you want. There's button 4. Here's your default on button 4. Switch back to the alternate. And for button 5 you get... Another one of those cheaper keyboard sounds. Now that, I haven't done anything. That's your low string. This would be a good opportunity to show the transpose option. That's more like transpose buttons way up here. And then now you're way up, so it's higher. This is not one of the ones like the tempo buttons where you can press them both and they go back to the standard. You've got to hit this and go. So kind of a deep sound here. So there's your default on that button 5. The sort of bells or vibraphones, whatever it is. And button 6. See, I've got that messed up now because the spaces feel the same as the buttons. So that was button 6 that we were just playing with. Button 5 is this. Let me switch back to the default and see what the default was on this. Kind of an organ sound. All right, so that's button 5. Button 6 we already heard from, the low tone there. Button 7 on alternate. That's that electric mandolin that was so pitiful. And here's that cheap keyboard sound on the default for that button. Now, the sustain doesn't stop that sound. I turned it off, and this is the kind of stuff you get. Sustain back on. So I almost wouldn't even use that tone very much. Alright, this is the pipe organ, and the default for this button is one of those phaser things. One of those ones that'll overload it pretty quickly. And finger picking is no good for this, except for with sustain off. Because if you try to finger pick with the sustain on, you get this. And your individual notes get lost. So let's turn sustain off for this pipe organ sound, and you get this. A much more manageable sound, and we are on button 9. That's another overloading one, so let's turn sustain off and see what we get for the... Ooh, like a flute sound. And it probably does say flute, I just can't tell you. In fact, let me use the transpose option on here and see if we can get a really high flute sound. Turn sustain off. Oh, that made a nice difference, because if you play a single note with sustain on, kind of a vibrating thing, let's turn sustain off. And I'm lifting off my fingers, but if I put sustain back on, that's with two notes. Turn sustain off. Sustain back on, and the default for this button is this. Oh. Okay, that's too much. I hit the mute button. I transpose back to normal. Okay, the last button. Kind of a woodwind sound. Let me turn the sustain off so that I can. That's the last button you've got. Oh, I hit the default button, so. So those are the 20 instrument sounds that you get from the Casio by hitting your button to shift in the second level there. That explains what this instrument does, and of course you can combine all the beats. You just have to find a song that would have the beats that you want, and of course you can slow it down and speed it up, so you've got a choice of the 20 instrument sounds, and you have a choice of using sustain or not, depending on what you're playing, and you have the choice of transposing up and using the fine-tune wheel to almost get it up an octave, or to tune it down just a bit. And then you have your choice of the 12 drum beat sounds. Oh, you know, I found I missed some controls here. There are four little pads. They're a bit sensitive, so you have to know where you're touching them. They're just below the strings where your hand would rest if it was picking the guitar. That's all they do. They don't do any other functions. You can't use the buttons to change them. I kind of skipped over them because I personally don't use them, but there you are. Those are all the controls. Two volume knobs, three rubberized buttons that I explained before, and your power button, and then your jacks on the side. And all this has been recorded from the internal speaker, which it's got a lot of bass for the drum beats, you know. And it looks like we've slowed it down some. Let me, yeah. So you got a separate volume control for your drum beats as opposed to the music parts, so you can adjust that. You've got the line out and the earphone jack to connect it to an amp. You got the MIDI, either channel 1 or 2. So there's your overview of the Casio DG20, and now I want to talk about where to try to get one, because they're not being made anymore, and I haven't found anything that comes close to it in one machine, because they stopped making them. Your Casio DG20, if you're going to try to find it on eBay, there's a store called Synth Gear from Japan who has them, and they refurbish them. So when you buy from them, you'll get it adjusted, and it'll be good for tension and things like that. I found this after I bought mine on eBay. The way these are attached, there's all sorts of screws and things inside, and that holds them down at the one end for the MIDI triggers. At the other end, the strings are held in place by these little Allen screw adjustments, and if one of these breaks, if you're trying to fix it yourself, you're not going to be able to find another one unless you happen to find another Casio DG20 that you can sort of part out. That was my bad luck that one of these broke, and I had to put masking tape on, which still doesn't do the best for tension and stuff like that. The strings are tightened by these Allen screws that you put in the side, and then they pull against it, so it's not anything like you're winding guitar strings on. If you find a DG10, you might be able to use the same things, like part it out or whatever, but I don't have a DG10, so I'm not exactly sure. If you're going to buy these on eBay from Synth Gear, they're about $260, but remember, they're shipping from Japan, so it's about $40 shipping, so you expect to pay $300 to $330 total. They take PayPal, so it's no problem to get it shipped to you from Japan. It just takes longer. but go on eBay and type Casio DG20. It's DG20, and hopefully they should have some up for sale. I asked them last time, a while back, and they're kind of running low on them. They were made in Japan, and this store refurbishes Roland and other things. You can adjust the tension on these if it comes to that, and you don't want to deal with it the way it is. You can tighten them up, but don't tighten them too much or they'll break, and then you won't have any tension, and you have to do what I did and try to masking tape them together or things like that. So just be careful with it as you're adjusting it, trying to get the tension on it. It holds 6D batteries, as I said, and each D battery is, of course, 1.5 volts, so I thought that 1.5 volts times 6 equaled 9 volt adapter, but no, there's a converter inside. It needs a 4.5 volt wall adapter. So I accidentally blew out the capacitor on it, and luckily there's a guy in town who fixed the capacitor. There's no email list that you can join. A Google search only turns up people who are looking for them or who say, hey, look at this cool thing I bought. So there's no community of DG20 owners, which is unfortunate. So you're really on your own. I found synth gear on eBay, and they refurbished them, of course. But you really wouldn't want to send it to them unless you wanted to pay the shipping and things. I would almost buy another one and to have it in good condition. So just be careful with it and enjoy it if it comes to you in good condition, if you find it in a thrift shop or something like that. I hope that you've enjoyed the overview of the Casio DG20, and you can email me if you have specific questions and if you want to try to avoid the pitfalls that I ran into trying to set this up. Hopefully it comes with the tools and maybe the gig bag. But email me, I'm not on the Blind Cool email list, MatthewBullis@runbox.com, MatthewBullis@runbox.com. And that's if you found a Casio DG20 and you want to talk over features, or if I didn't quite explain something the way you needed it to be explained. If you're into MIDI and you find something neat about hooking it up to other things, write and tell me about it so that I know what's out there, because I never experienced MIDI. I think that's all I can think of about the Casio DG20. Remember, as I said, if you find the DG10, which SynthGear does have some of those, and they're about 130, you're going to get less sounds, and you're not going to get the MIDI capability. So if you like what you hear but don't need every sound, you might want to invest in one of those to see if it's something you like. There are strap buttons on this, so you can wear it with a strap. But yeah, don't try to take it apart. I mean, if you need to adjust something or one of the Allen screws doesn't turn quite as it should, email me and let me know, and I'll try to talk you through it if I can. And I have no more to say about it this time, so thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy it.